Hallelujah, Lord. Can you just give him a hand clap of praise tonight? Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you brought us from death to life. Thank you, Lord, that we didn't deserve it, but you did it anyway. Hallelujah. That you died the death that we deserve tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. It makes me glad when I think about Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Again, thankful to be here tonight. I want to say how much we appreciate Pastor Goodwin and all of the Truth Camp Board for everything that they do, and for hosting an opportunity again and again throughout the year for young people to come and reaffirm some commitments and get closer to Jesus. Amen. Isn't that awesome, young people? Amen. Amen. I just want to drive home the gratitude that we should have for things like that. I want to say quickly a couple of things. Thankful that my wife is with me tonight. Amen. I am what I am by the grace of God and the influence of Lori Adams. Amen. You don't even know, and she ain't telling. But I'm thankful for the ways that God has used her in my life. I don't want to, I know it's a bad policy to start naming names in a crowd, but I want to say how glad I am that my parents are here. And when I asked them if they were going to come, and they said, I don't think so. And I said, well, Evan's going to be here. Here they are. Yeah. Amen. I want to say how glad we are to see Pastor and Sister Lewis here. They were my pastors for some time, and they have continued to invest in my life over the years. And that investment, I would like to say, has made a difference. You may have another opinion, but they ain't telling either. Amen. Thankful that they're here tonight. I want you to turn to the book of 1 John tonight. If you're looking for that, it's toward the end of the New Testament. If you want to start in Revelation and move backwards, you'll find it faster. 1 John chapter 2. Some housekeeping here real quick. Brother Zach Royal, could you step into the aisle, please? I want to throw something at you. Open that for me, would you? Thank you. All right. First John chapter 2, we're going to read verses 15 through 17. Yeah, if you want to stand for the reading of the word, amen. Love not the world, in verse 15 he says, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And here's the important part. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your anointing and for your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would move me out of the way, and that the word and the spirit, Lord, would just have free course in this place. I believe that you came. I believe that you are here to make a difference in someone's life. And I pray, God, that you would just let the truth come across and let the anointing accompany it in just the way that it needs to happen, or for your will to be accomplished tonight and for the hearts to be changed that you've been pursuing tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for reverencing the word tonight. I want to preach to you tonight about the pull of the world. Amen. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, the world will pull you if it can. Amen. Pastor Goodwin called us a few weeks ago and asked if we'd be willing to come and preach, and I agreed and began praying, and it wasn't very long at all until the Lord laid this burden on my heart tonight, and I pray that I can deliver it the way that he delivered it to me, because it impacted my heart to hear what he had to say. But he said, love not the world. How many of you ever had to have your parents tell you not to do something that you didn't want to do? Raise your hand. Okay, so, or let me, I didn't ask the question clearly. Let me illustrate here. All right. How many of you ever had to have your parents say, now don't hold your hand on that hot stove? Move it. No. How about, now don't eat that broccoli. Anybody? No hands. All right. Because you don't have to be told not to do things that are enjoyable to you or that don't have some kind of attraction to you or don't have some kind of pull in your life. But when John said, love not the world, it's because he knew there was a propensity, there was a tendency in each of us to see something that the world had to offer and be drawn away to it. Amen. I preached from this text in Sherman a few months ago, and I talked about the sham of the world. He said, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'm missing my illustration here tonight. All right. But I'm going to tell you tonight when you look at the world, there are some things that seem to be alluring. There are some things that seem to be attractive out there, but it's just a sham. Do you know what I mean when I say the word sham? Does anybody's mom keep pretty pillows on the bed? Anybody? All right. We got some out there. All right. A sham makes a pillow look like a different kind of pillow. It may be pink and frilly on the outside and yellow and stained up on the inside. And that's why they got the sham in the first place. Some of y'all mamas know what I'm preaching about. I'm nervous. It's okay. I'm nervous anytime I'm not in Sherman, okay? But I want to tell you tonight that everything the world has to offer, everything that could allure you, everything that could pull you away is in that glossy sham. But what's inside is stained up and ugly, and I'm going to tell you tonight, you don't want it. Amen. Amen. And you say, why are you preaching about the world tonight, specifically the pull of the world? It's because I've sat where you sit, young people. I've been to youth camp. I know the glory of standing in the altar, and the Holy Spirit makes a difference in your heart and draws you to a place of commitment, and you surrender and say yes, and the tears flow, and then you go back to school a few months later, and it seems like the direction that was so clear to you in the altar seems to have gone blurry and seems to have lost its focus because there's a different pull in your life when you get there. And so I came tonight on a mission from the Holy Spirit to help somebody who's feeling the pull, amen, and tell you right now, up front, before we get finished, that God can deliver you from the pull of the world. Amen. 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 I don't preach very often that I don't use my boys from Sermon First, so I need all four of you. Come on up real quick. One of them told me before service, he saw what I was carrying. I said, I need your help with an illustration. He said, well, I'm not playing with a doll. And I said, action figure. Come over here, boys. All right, you two are first. Y'all come up top here. All right. Y'all two come all the way over here. All right. Stay down there. Stay down there. Y'all up here. Y'all down here. All right. Aren't they handsome guys? Amen. Give them a hand. Are you here tonight and you're feeling the pull? Anybody? Stretch Armstrong. Who's too young to know what Stretch Armstrong is? I got some hands. You know you're old when the stuff you thought was cool as a kid, kids don't even know what it is anymore. All right. Some of the kids that were in our kids' services at Truth Camp a couple of years ago came up to me before service started. Y'all just kind of hold it, relax there. Just hang tight for just a second. Hang loose, not tight. Amen. They came up to me before service and they said, I can't wait to hear you preach. They remember Kukli Duke and Don Juan and Patricia, and I don't have none of that tonight. So I'm sorry if you're disappointed. Amen. But I do have Stretch Armstrong. I want to talk about the pulls, the way that the world pulls on somebody. And I'm getting somewhere tonight, all right? The Lord's going to move and help us in these altars tonight, all right? Stretch came home from youth camp with some fresh commitments, Jesus in his heart, amen, a determination to walk the way that God had called him to walk, amen, on fire of the Holy Ghost, amen, and the first thing that met him when he got back into his normal life was the pull of peer pressure. Pull it. You're going to need to get a tight grip on this, boys, because it's in your hands, Lord. The pull of peer pressure. Your peer pressure, all right? I want to talk to you just a minute about peer pressure. I want to give you a list of things that I did, of things I wore growing up because of peer pressure. It started in third grade. I asked my mother to buy me a short sleeve t-shirt that had a hood on it, and she did. Why does anybody need a short sleeve t-shirt with a hood? I can't explain it. I just wore it. When I was in high school, the baggier the jeans, the better. What you wanted was jeans that would hide almost every square inch of your shoes. And I wore them. Later, I wore bootcut jeans. There was an entire year of my high school experience where I wore Doc Marten sandals nearly every day. And all of these things were because other people were doing it. I don't know why it is, but when we are creatures who look to others to see what we should be doing, amen. I don't know what it is about it, but when we see what others are doing, we feel that pull. And sometimes it's even things that, and I'm not preaching against any of the things that I talked about tonight. I'm just saying they're not really in style anymore, so don't wear them. But what I am saying is there are things in our lives that when peer pressure gets a hold of us, we begin to think that we ought to be walking that way. What a powerful tool of the enemy our peer pressure has come to be. Amen. There are things in your life today that you are contemplating and you're thinking about doing it simply because those others around you are doing it. Amen. And sometimes the world has such a powerful influence that we are carried away from doing the things that we know we should do simply because other people are or are not doing it. I went to see you at the poll as a high school student. Amen. SYATP. Along with seven other people. In a campus of hundreds. I felt weird. I felt awkward. And I didn't go back the next year. Do you know what my reason was? Well, nobody went last year. I want to ask you a question tonight, young people. What are you doing and what are you not doing simply because of the pull of what others are doing and are not doing? Amen. I want to tell you that when he said not to love the world, what he was telling us is there's going to be a lot of pulls and there's going to be a lot of attraction to what's out there. And one of the key ways that he pulls on people who are young is he shows them the uniqueness or the isolation of what it is that they are doing that no one else is doing. Have you ever thought, I can't do that, no one else is, I'll be weird, or I can't stay away from that because everybody else does that and I can't be the one who doesn't. You're getting ahead of me, Stretch. Peer pressure, you need to do your job better. The pull of the world. Tonight, you may not be experiencing that in this moment, but can I tell you that there are some people here under the sound of my voice who are dealing with the pull of family in your lives? I'm so blessed. My parents are here. I told my church the other night that I had a drug problem when I was young. I was drugged to Sunday morning service. I was drugged to Sunday evening service. The Lewises know it. I was drugged to WMs. That's women's ministries. I'm blessed to come from a Christian home. I'm thankful for my Christian home. Amen. Some of you, I know you're not living in that environment. Some of you, you come home from camp and you were the only one You're the only one trying to live for Jesus Christ. It subjects you to mockery. Your family doesn't understand. They don't appreciate the stand that you take. I'm going to tell you, I've seen it before. I've seen it 100 times. I'm not done seeing it in my life. Parents don't like to be under conviction for what their kids are doing different than them. When you go home and you shine the light of Jesus Christ in an ungodly place, I want to tell you, you make people uncomfortable. Amen. But that's okay. That's what the Holy Spirit is there to make a difference in your life. He's placed you in your home to shine the light of Jesus Christ and to show and to remind people what righteousness is, or maybe to show them for the very first time. What you're doing matters. Amen. But don't give up and don't surrender to the pull because you're just the only one. I tried to think of some examples that I could give of the pull of the world having its influence in people's lives, and when I talked about peer pressure, I know that's something that everybody has faced before. Raise your hand if you've never faced peer pressure before. Sorry, I get a lot of audience participation when I preach. You'll just have to get used to that. But I want to give some examples for somebody, an example for somebody who may be in the situation where you are. You're serving God alone. One of them is sitting right here on the third row. My wife rode the van to church a lot of the times that she ever went. When she got 16 and got her license, she drove herself to church. Sometimes her parents withstood her commitments. I don't want to say too much because some of my church people know her parents now. But sometimes they withstood her commitments. Sometimes the pull, I didn't introduce my family here. Are you pulling on him, family? Does your hand hurt? Okay. You want to relax for just a minute? Y'all take a break. Take a break. She faced the pull of family. When she made commitments for Jesus Christ, there was members of her family that said, oh, I don't know how long you're going to stick with that, but let's just put this item up in the attic for when you're ready to have it back. Or I don't know how long this is going to last in your life, but we want to have this on the burner for when you make a different decision and you've changed your mind about this extreme way you're going to live. She made the choice to answer the call and to go the direction that God was calling her, and with no support and with no you know. When I was in the altars, there was times my parents would come and lay hands on me and pray for me. They supported me going God's direction. They wanted me to go God's direction. I can't imagine what it's like living in a home where you are encouraged to give in to the pull of the world. But if you're here tonight, I want to tell you, you don't have to go that way. There's another young lady I'm thinking of right now who made some decisions, made some choices to come and follow Christ and serve Jesus. And for years she made some commitments and was faithful to church and was faithful to youth group and developed relationships inside the church. And I really thought that God was going to make a difference in the trajectory of her future and her life. And we prayed because we knew that she was facing the pull of family against everything she had decided to be in Jesus Christ. But there came a day where she said, you know what, I can't do this anymore. This is just not how my people live. What had happened? And she's not serving God today. I want to tell you what happened in her life. Anybody love your family tonight? Oh, I love my family. And it's okay to love your family, but I'm going to tell you tonight that there was such a strong pull against her commitment to Jesus Christ that when it came down to it, and when it came time to make the really important decisions, she couldn't withstand in herself the pull of her family toward the world. I'm going to tell you that somebody here tonight, this is Tay. Say hi, Tay. Tonight, Tay is the future. Is the future. You know, one of the strongest ways, y'all can pull again. Stretch is feeling the pull. Amen. One of the strongest ways, y'all be strong. I brought you up here because you were strong. Don't they look strong? Cheer them on a little bit. They're having a hard time stretching. All right. I'm going to tell you tonight that the future is one of the strongest pulls. Look, peer pressure. Just stay there. Stay right where you are. Pull on his arm. Just hold his hand and pull it. I'm not trying to be too silly tonight. Sometimes it just happens. The future. What are you to be? What are you to do with your life? I want to tell you that this is one of the most insidious ways that Satan comes against your generation, young people, right now. The priorities of the world right now have been turned on its head. And what truly matters is derided and is scorned as not really that important. Amen. The pull of the future has confused and torn young people away from the path that they should have been on, from the path of the call, from the path of purity, from the path of everything that God said they needed to be. Amen. I'm going to tell you that the pull of the future is one of Satan's most powerful weapons. I surrendered to the call to preach when I was 18 years old. I had just graduated high school, and I was planning on attending Stephen F. Austin State University in Nacogdoches, not very far from here. And when I surrendered to the call, I went to Bible college instead at OBI. And I went to the post office one day to drop off some mail for my parents, and I met one of my former teachers there. And she said, "Well, where are you off to this summer?" She knew I had graduated. And I said, "Well, I'm going to Bible college." I said, "I don't really know what exactly is in the future. Maybe missions, maybe preaching, maybe pastoring." At that time, I didn't have the full picture yet. God doesn't always give you the full picture of your future. Anybody waiting for that? Sometimes it's step by step. But I remember I expected to hear encouragement. "Oh, that's good. That's a good direction for your life." That's not what I heard. She said, "Oh, no." She said, "You're never going to have anything. You're never going to have a cushy house. Your life is going to stink. If you go," I'm not even lying to you. I'm not embellishing. I'm not saying her name because there's people here that know her. And I stood there in the lobby of my post office and I cried. Let me clue you in on something real quick, young people. Not everyone is concerned that you go the right way. Not everyone is going to be a source of encouragement. Not everyone is going to be a source of not everyone's going to cheer you on just because God said for you to do something. That doesn't mean that everyone is going to be on the band. But listen, nobody's opinion really matters as much as God's does for your life. And I had to remind myself of that over and over again. Before I came over here to preach tonight, I stood in this chair and I said, "Lord, I'm not here because of what anybody thinks about me. I'm here to deliver something for the audience of one in my life." Amen. I'm going to tell you, in your future, in your life, listen only for the voice of God. There's a future-minded people who will say, "You've got to do something to make a living in your life. And don't go to what God has called you to do. Your future matters and you need to make some money." I want to clue you in on a secret real quick. Again, y'all can take another break. Y'all didn't know you're coming to work out tonight, did you? Christian young people who have a Christian appearance and a Christian demeanor and a smile can get all kinds of jobs and can rise to the top of their field if that's where God sends you. I believe that with all my heart. I'm going to tell you, I've gotten some pretty good jobs in my life simply because I didn't have a DUI or a bad ticket. Jobs I didn't think I would get. Don't listen to worldly wisdom for your future. Do I need to remind you what Proverbs says tonight? It says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, By all indications, it's a good path. That's the way you need to go. That's where the people who are making money are going. That's the path for you. That's what seems right. But the end of that path of worldly wisdom are the ways of death and of destruction tonight. Amen. What I came tonight to do is to remind somebody of the commitment that you've made, or maybe of the commitment you've always hesitated to make, and tell you that the things that the world is telling you to pull you away from the path of Calvary and the path of the cross and the path of holy living, let me tell you tonight, that pull will only take you down a path that whose end is destruction. One more time, guys. One more time. Y'all don't know what Jovan's doing here. Jovan is the only, he's the only one pulling you in a certain direction, because this is the memory of what God did, amen. This is the remembrance of how God delivered you. This is the remembrance of how God saved you. This is the remembrance of what God had done to bring you out of the place that you were in. And I'm gonna tell you, there's been times that the only thing that kept me going was remembering what God had done for me before and wanting to stay true to him, amen. But I'm gonna tell you, that's right now, it's 1-3. I wanna tell you what somebody in this house needs to do. And I'm gonna tell you that what I have in my hand right now is not mine. And it doesn't belong to any man in the building. It belongs to a girl from Sherman First Assembly. That's why it's pink. Don't judge me. I borrowed it. Look. Your family is your family. And they will always be your family. Learning to live in that environment is important. Learning to stand for Jesus in the environment will be one of the most important decisions you ever make. I'm going to tell you what to do with some of the other pulls that Satan brings against you. Peer pressure. It's time for somebody to decide. It doesn't matter what everybody else does. Amen. The way to heaven is narrow. And I'm going to release myself from the pull. I know how to use a knife. Of peer pressure. I'm going to make a clean break with it in my life. I've made up my mind. I'm going God's way and not the popular way. I'm going God's way, not the way that everybody seems to be going. It may be an isolated path, but it's the road that leads to heaven, and it's the road that leads to where God is calling me. Your family's your family. You can't make a clean break from your family. I know there's people who have gone through the torment of having to do that in different instances, but I'm not preaching to you to do that tonight. I don't think that you should. I'm gonna tell you what I've had to do. Some pulls in my life. Friend, you're friends, right? No, you're the future. Who's friends? There's no friends. There have been some friends that had to go. I had to say, look, I like spending time with you. I like being around you. We have a lot in common. We have the same sense of humor. But if my friendship with you is pulling me away from my love for Jesus, then I've got to make a change. You say, well, I'm trying to win them to Jesus. Okay, let me ask you a question. As you're trying to win them to Jesus, how much is it stretching you? And are you becoming more like the world? Or are they coming closer to Jesus? Sometimes I'm just trying to win them to Jesus is a flimsy excuse for I don't want to end that relationship. You guys, you two can be seated. You are the lucky ones. Amen. I hate when people's phones go off in church. The future. I can stand here as a living. This is a simple message tonight. When I first started pastoring, I tried to have one Greek word study in every message that I preached. I got over that really quickly. People don't care. Amen. All right. When I started praying for Truth Retreat 2019, I got simple thoughts, and I got something that I felt like I could communicate simply, because it matters tonight, and I want somebody who needs to get it to get it. I can testify to you tonight. It doesn't matter what people say about your future. God has a different plan, and he works in ways that they can't see, in ways that they are not acquainted with, in ways that they may never understand, but God has your future in his hands, amen. You can let go of every insecurity about what you're gonna be and why it matters, and don't do this and don't do that according to the world's perspective. Let that go, amen, and just determine you're gonna serve Jesus Christ in the path that he has for you, amen. I can tell you today that there have been financial blessings in my life that I never saw coming, amen, and I can attribute it to one thing, and not, listen, I'm not successful by the world standards. I want to tell you, the Lord has used my life to make a difference in some other people's lives. I'm storing up treasures in heaven, amen, and my family's never been hungry. We've never lacked for anything that we've needed. Amen. And I can say today that we're blessed because I went God's way. And there is somebody here tonight. You make excellent grades in school, or maybe you have skills in a trade, or maybe you have something going for you. Maybe unlike me, you've got the looks. I am what I am. Whatever path the world has laid for you, if God says something different, then this is what you need to do with the worldly opinions. There's only one left. There's only one left. And that's the pull of what God has done, what he is doing, and what he can do. Thank you, Marquise. You can have a seat too. I want to tell you tonight, God, I've preached about the pull of the world, the pull in peer pressure, the pull of your family possibly, the pull of the future. And I'm going to tell you, I have experienced some of those pulls in my life, and I've had to make a clean break with them tonight. But can I tell you about an even stronger pull that I've experienced in my life? It's a different kind. It's a different kind of pull. But when I... Sorry about that. When you surrender to it, you find... Brother Zach, would you help me? One more time. Just stretch that down the middle aisle here. When you surrender to it, you find it to be an even more compelling and an even more powerful influence in your life. Amen. We're going to stop right there. Amen. And this is the pull of God toward his will and toward the love that you can share in fellowship with him. Amen, sister. If the music could come, if y'all could just come back and sing that song one more time, I am, I'd love it if you could do that. Amen. I want to talk about God's track record and his ability to pull things. Amen. David said he brought me up from the deep miry clay. Out of a horrible pit. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, I was in a horrible pit of sin. Jesus pulled me out. In the book of Hosea, chapter 11, God was prophesying to a backslidden nation who had gone their own way. They had surrendered to the pull of the world. And he said, this is what I'm going to do for them. I'm going to pull them with strong cords. The cords of a man is what he said. The cords of love. I'm going to pull them with tenderness. I'm going to pull them with affection. And there's coming a day where they're going to be mine. All mine. Their heart's going to be totally surrendered. There'll be no tug of war over their life anymore. They'll be mine. The power of the Holy Spirit can pull you. Listen, when you fall in love with, I preached on Sunday night to my young people. I'm gonna preach it to you right now. You need to learn not to just fall in love with Jesus, fall in love with the church. Your generation is not prone to that right now, but you can make a change. You can make a difference. Amen. Learn to fall in love, not just with Jesus, but with his church. Fellowship with the people. Stand around after service is over and talk to somebody until you get to know them a little bit better. Somebody that's not even in your generation. Find an older person. Yes, sir. I didn't say old. I said older. Yes, start a conversation with them. Go to, stay and eat at the potlucks. Go to youth group and go to prayer meeting. And go whenever they have something there, show up. Learn to read the Bible. You say, that's a hard habit for me to build. Do something every day. If it's a verse, do something. Pray. If it's 5 minutes every day, if it's 1 minute every day, start a habit in your life. I want to tell you, why, you say, why are you telling us to read our Bibles and pray? I want to tell you, because when you begin to fall in love with Jesus, the pull gets stronger. Listen, God can do anything in your life that you need him to do. From where you stand right now to where he's taking you, he has all the power in the world to get you there and more. I want to tell you, I told you, I know what it means to stand in the altars and make commitments to Jesus Christ. I also know what it means to go back into a public school setting and lose some of those commitments from time to time. It's a miserable place to be in. Wrestling against God. Wrestling. You feel like stretched sometimes. Pulled in different directions and only one really matters. But you can't see that at a certain age. I want to tell you, everything that God has ever done in my life, there was one little caveat to that. One little thing before God really did his work in me. I had to go first. I had to surrender. I had to come to an altar of repentance. And so, Lord, the direction I'm going isn't the direction I need to be going. Would you draw me back to yourself? I want to testify, Brother Zach, take hold of that rope. When I surrendered to the pull of the Spirit and I began once again to make those commitments and fall in love with Jesus, I found the pull of Jesus Christ and the pull of the Holy Spirit to be more than I could. I'm going to tell you, the fact that I'm standing here in love with Jesus preaching the word to you today has less to do with me and more to do with what God did in my life than you will ever know. Amen. It's not you that's going to get you there. You can overcome the pull of the world by surrendering to the pull of the Holy Spirit in your life right now. What does that look like? It looks like this. It looks like coming to the altar with your hands uplifted and saying, draw me, Lord, to you. Draw me away from the place that I've come to. Draw me away from the misery of being halted in between two decisions. Draw me away from the pull of peer pressure. Draw me away from the pull of my family. Draw me away from the pull of my future. And just let me be drawn by you into a future, into a life, into a discipleship, into a plan, the plan of God that is better than I could ever ask or imagine. I want to tell you today, God's plan for you is bigger than your imagination. God's plan for you. You say, I don't know how to accomplish that. God knows. I'm going to tell you how to accomplish everything that God has called you to. Say yes to him. I was 13 years old, and Sister Darla Lewis put a puppet on my hand behind a white and pink wooden puppet stage that wasn't much bigger than a Cracker Jack box. I've had a puppet on my hand now for 21 years. And God's used me to reach children and to travel places I've never even heard of before. I've been to Africa ministering to children. Not because Lonnie Adams is awesome. No. Draw me, Lord. Draw me, Lord. Draw me. Draw me. Draw me. I know what it means for the Holy Spirit to finally win the victory in your life, to come to camp, to go to retreat, to be conflicted, to be pulled between two decisions. I know what it means to finally say, yes, Lord, I'm yours forever. I'm going to tell you, there's a victory ahead for the one who submits to Jesus Christ. And that's really all. All that it is. Forget the other voices. Forget the other pulls. forget everything else that people say matters, because it doesn't matter. Draw me, Lord. Draw me, Lord. Let's stand tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to be able to pray with some of you in the altar tonight. Sister Adams, would you come this way? Somebody tonight says, I'm feeling the pull, but I want to go God's way tonight. I need to make a clean break with some things that have been pulling on my life. I need to say yes to Jesus, fresh and new. Would you just slip up a hand and put it right back down? I just want to pray with you in the altar. That's good. That's good. You know, God loves it when we're honest with Him. He can do more with us in that condition than at any other time. Amen. So I don't want us to come all at one time. What I want us to do is, guys, come down this center aisle. Ladies, come down the center aisle. Stop. If you're a lady, stop at my wife. She's going to give you a section of rope. I want you to take it home with you. I want you to put it on your dashboard, or I want you to put it on your keyboard, or I want you to put it where you charge your phone. And when you see it, I want you to say, draw me, Lord. Draw me, Lord. Amen. If you'd like to come pray, would you just pass through this gate right here, take a piece of rope, and ask the Lord right now, Lord, draw me into your will. Draw me into a life of surrender. Come this way. Come down this middle aisle. I know this is not the way we usually do it, but just come down this middle aisle. And I've got a rope for the guys. My wife has a rope for the girls. And then let's make a place to pray. Make a place of commitment. Make a place of the altar. Draw me, Lord. Help me to make a clean break with everything that would draw me away from your plan. Oh, draw me, Lord. Draw me, Lord. Draw me, Lord. I am your future. Sing that verse, would you?
I am your future.
Hallelujah.
I am your. I am.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
I am. Oh, I am. I am the Lord and the Almighty God. I am the one for whom nothing is too hard. I am the shepherd. I am the door. I am the good news to the bound and the poor. I am the Lamb. I am. your stress. I am strength, I am faith, I am love, I am power. Today I am your freedom. This very hour I am hope, I am peace, I am joy, I am rest. I am your comfort and relief from your stress. I am strength, I am faith, I am love, I am power. Today I am your freedom. This very hour I am. I am. Oh, he said, I am. I am. Oh, I am the bread. So leave your past behind. I am the one in the midst of two or three. I am your tabernacle.